best.
We're now joined by SMU head football coach Rhett Lashley on 365 Sports with Paul Craig, and I'm David as well. Coach, thank you very much for your time and Happy New Year. You saw TCU early in the year. Of course, that's the rivalry game. I think it was 42-27. You saw them then. Did you think then that they could be playing in the college football semifinals?
Boy, yeah, thanks for having me on. Yeah, we did see them, and it was actually 42-34.
Okay. Football game.
You know, what I noticed that day is, boy, they had some great skill players, especially their running backs. Their running backs are really good. Obviously, Kendre Miller and DeMarco, and then they've got, you know, they got some really good receivers, especially, you know, their return guy and their slot receiver. I mean, he can really go, number 11. And then they got a great offensive line. And then when Max Duggan's playing at the level he's playing this year, I mean, at a career level. You know, what a story it is, though, in this day and age in college football when a guy like Max has been there for so long. And so many guys transfer when either things don't go their way or they're not having the success they want. But for him to stick around and have a year like this, that's what's good about college football.
Coach, as someone who's seen what has happened with TCU in that, you know, a decade ago, they get to join a bigger conference. The resources there, they've grown to the point where they can get in the college playoff. Cincinnati in the playoff last year and joining a power conference. Does that make you, even with the advent of the 12-team playoff here in a couple years, does that make you look at things differently at SMU about what future goals need to be for the team, the university?
Yeah, I mean, I think why not us? I mean, I think we have the support, we have the resources, we have the backing from our administration and our alumni now to compete at the highest level. And to your point, you know, we're rivals. Games have gone back and forth over the last few years. Again, this year, we played them just about as good as anybody. And feel like we didn't play very good that day. And, you see what they've done since Gary, you know, like you said, 10, 12 years ago, whatever it was, when they changed conferences and where that program's gone, similar sized schools. And, yeah, I mean, we feel like we can compete with anybody if we're given the opportunity, and we feel like our program's heading in the right direction. And at the end of the day, we're in Dallas, and we think that's a big plus for us too.
Coach, you guys end up finishing 7-6. The bowl game, I know that was tough. The close loss to BYU there with a chance in the final seconds. That was not what you wanted, obviously. But just what did you make of this past season? How would you kind of summarize your feelings, good, bad, otherwise, on what you saw from your program?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was overall, it was a successful year. You know, we had a winning season. We had a winning conference record. We won the second most conference games we've ever won here. And we finished well. We went 3-1 in November, which we hadn't won three games in November at SMU since 2009. So, you know, we won some big games. We beat Houston. So we did a lot of good things. At the same time, you know, there's some games we felt like we could have won. We let get away. You know, we feel like we really outplayed Maryland week three, but lost by a touchdown because, you know, we just didn't make some critical plays. The game with TCU was a one-score game. We were about to get the ball back with a minute to go. And you know, we kind of had an unfortunate penalty on a punt return. And then we lost to Cincinnati by a 2-point play. I mean, you brought up the bowl game where we felt like, kind of like Maryland, we really felt like we outplayed them and won the game, but we just didn't, you know, we didn't make the critical plays in big moments, but we feel like we're headed in the right direction. Really excited about where our program is, the guys we have returning and the guys we have coming in and the opportunities we have next year.
Rhett, the game is different, obviously. I'm not the game itself, but the college football in general. Paul brought up the transfer portal, and of course we know there's NIL, and then there's all this change with the teams going from one conference to the next. Is it sometimes difficult to know what door is open or who's coming and going?
Yeah, it's constant and changes daily, you know. And so I remember just thinking last year, you were trying to figure out, you didn't know till June 1st who was actually going to be on your roster for the season. And you know, to some degree, that's kind of how it's going to be. They've got the portal windows now, which will give it a little more clarity. But, you know, like I said, that's the way the game's gone. You better evolve with it. Otherwise, you can get left behind. And fortunately, we feel like we have a good place here. We have a good culture. We have guys that want to be here. And we have guys that want to come in here. And so I just think it's a great time for our program to seize the opportunities there in front of us.
How much conversation did you have with Tanner Mordecai when he was trying to decide what he was going to do with his future?
Well, a lot. I mean, Tanner, we have a great relationship, and I love that young man to death. I mean, what he did this year and what he did for this program is incredible. You know, Tanner had decided middle of the season he was going to go pro, which we kind of always knew this was his last season here coming in. He had another great year, you know, indications he may have had a better year this year. He missed the game, but he was much more efficient, valued the ball better. Obviously had the game where he had 9 touchdowns against Houston, which is just incredible. And, you know, he walked on senior day. He was set to go and test the waters in the NFL. And I think whenever he does that, he'll have a great opportunity. So we kind of really celebrated him along with our seniors, and we were excited about the opportunities ahead for him. And with Preston Stone coming up, we felt like we were in a good place in the transition. But, you know, Tanner, I think, had a lot of – he loves college football. And after he was getting information back on where he could go, he and I had some good conversations, and he just – I think he was really set on giving it a shot until the opportunity at Wisconsin came along, and we had some good conversations. And I think it's a great situation for him. I think he has a chance to go up there and do really well in Phil's system. And, you know, at the end of the day, Tanner's everything that's good about college football. So as long as he wants to play college football, I think it's great. We hate that he won't be doing it in our uniform, but man, he gave a lot to this school, and I'm a fan for life, and I can't wait to see what he does next year and then beyond when he makes that jump in the NFL.
A lot of good woods up there in Wisconsin. You know, Tanner's an outdoorsman. He wants to go shoot a moose or something, I'm sure.
Yeah, he's low maintenance, so he'll fit in right up there. Really low. Yeah.
Coach, if you know, you look at these rosters in TCU and in Georgia, they're very differently constructed. You know, Georgia, you know, they're the defending national champs. It can be intimidating if you look at it from that perspective. Now, what TCU has done is they seemingly don't care who it is they're playing in front of them. And you've had similar situations, obviously, SMU, when you play teams like that. As you prepare for this game, is that even a factor? Do you bring that up to your team, or is it just these are the guys in front of us and let's go?
Yeah, I think at this point in the year, both teams are going to do what they do. That's why they're there. They've got an identity. You know, the TCU team reminds me a lot of our Auburn team in 2013. When Gusta became the head coach, I got to be the OC. Auburn had been 3-9 the year before. We caught lightning in a bottle. We were like 3-1 the first 4 games. Yeah, you know, we were playing okay, found a way to win some close games. We got some confidence and took off. It was about the time we beat A&M. We got some confidence. Next thing you know, we're playing Florida State in the national championship game. You know, and TCU's kind of had that same kind of season. You know, they had some close games early, and they just kept finding ways to win. Next thing you know, they got confidence, and they're rolling. And so I think for them, you know, the best thing they do is they run the football well. That's where it starts. If they can run the football and stay balanced, that opens everything up. And then Max, I mean, Max is going to have to make a lot of plays. When you beat a Georgia, Alabama, Kirby Smart-type defense, you know, I got to go against Kirby 4 or 5 times as an OC when he was a DC at Alabama. In the years we either beat him or had success, we had Cam Newton, we had Nick Marshall. You saw the other night what C.J. Stroud had to do with his legs. I mean, even when he was throwing touchdown passes, it's because he extended the play, scrambled, the play broke down, and he hit Harrison for big plays. You've got to hit big plays. The quarterback's got to make big plays with his feet, not just running the football, but extending plays, because they're so good at Georgia covering your first and second option. They get a great pass rush, and they're really good at stopping the run. So both teams are going to be who they are. They have an identity. I think for TCU, it's going to be about, on defense, can they stop the run, which they do very well. And then on offense, you know, can Max make those plays that you have to make to win that game?
Where were you, and was it up in the booth during the kick six?
I was on the sideline, and I was actually on the 30-yard line closest to the end zone he scored in.
Wow.
Because I got behind him. They're kicking a 57-yard field goal, and I was kind of worried if he's going to make it or not. And when we didn't block it, it was right down the middle. Luckily, it was about 3 or 4 yards short. And I watched our guy, Chris Davis, catch it, set it up, and he hit our sideline. And it was about the time he got within 10 yards of me that I looked up in front, and there was nobody in front of him. And, you know, talk about a wild experience and something you'll never forget. That was quite a game.
That's one of the – I still go back and watch that sometimes. That was such an insane moment. That's one of the greatest moments truly in college football history.
Well, it's the Stanford-Cal game of our generation.
Yeah,
you know,
good
point. Stanford-Cal game where the band's on the field and they run down and they return the kick. It was kind of like that for our generation, like – my kids were like, you know, they were like 4 years old. So they're going to grow up seeing those highlights every year at Christmas and Thanksgiving for the top 10 plays of all time and all that. So it was kind of cool to be a part of that.
I can imagine just sitting there going, oh, good, he caught it. Yeah. Awesome, awesome. Oh, my God.
Yeah, thank God. Let's get ready for overtime.
Was there any part of your body you had to hold yourself back from trying to lead him down the field at about the 30-yard line? Just
no, just praying to God. We had a guy running with him, and you're going, don't trip him.
Oh, my God, yes.
Like, get away from him, you know? You know, there's a buddy of mine has a good picture of me jumping up in the air as he's running by. You know, I thought I had a much better vertical than it showed. It was only about a few inches off the ground. I felt like I was 3 feet, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That moment you mentioned that, when I have gone back and watched, I know what happens, but I'm still always afraid that he's going to trip on his teammate as he's running down. Every time I'm like, don't trip, and I know what's happening, but, yeah, you're absolutely right. That's one of my thoughts watching that back as well.
It was a great, great moment. Rhett, obviously you have the National Signing Days in February. There was one in December. There are so many different things happening. I brought this up earlier, but do you feel like they're going to eventually do something with even the early signing day? Would you like to see that? Is that kind of now with coaches leaving and coordinators leaving and the transfer portal and opt-outs and now the championship extends? What do you think may or should happen?
Well, that's a great question. There's a lot of great questions like that in our game right now. You know, I on one hand, I don't see the early signing period changing because – over 95% of the kids sign now then. It's kind of become signing day. The one in February is really not that big a deal anymore. And in a lot of ways, I think you like that from the standpoint of it gets done mid-December, a few weeks after everybody's season's over, and you go into the holidays, and you kind of know who signed for the most part. Now, to your point, with the transfer portal opening up now how it has, with coaching changes now happening earlier in the season because of that window and all those things, it does make a busy time. I mean, we found out on a Sunday, 13 days before we played BYU, that's when we found out we were playing. We found out 13 days, you're going to be playing in the New Mexico Bowl, and those 13 days happen to be the two most critical weeks of recruiting before that signing day and in this transfer world. And so that's a lot to juggle. It's like, you know, it's really hard to get ready for a bowl game and do all that recruiting. We missed a recruiting weekend, you know, which is good. We were in a bowl game, but just trying to juggle all that, then you factor in some schools like I had to do a year ago with a coaching change. I mean, it's just a lot. So I don't know. I don't see it moving, but there are a lot of reasons why it makes sense to look at it.
Rhett, it's been great. The combination of you, of course, playing TCU earlier, and then obviously the connection to Kirby Smart was on the other sideline, as you mentioned, when you were at Georgia for those 6 years, part of the Kick Six. Craig, one more for Rhett?
I actually kind of have a couple more. I wanted to ask you, you know, in terms of, you know, the experience – you know, TCU and Georgia and all that. Just how great do you think last weekend was for college football in those two semifinal games? How much did you enjoy that?
Man, it was awesome. I mean, think of how many years we've had this playoff and it hasn't been like that. Mm-hmm. It was phenomenal for our game. It's what's so great about our game. And I think it also proves why we need the 12-team playoff. Could you imagine, you know, if you had a weekend of four of those games and then another weekend with four more before you even get to where there's four left? I mean, there's just so much that can happen, and Tulane proved that with what they did to USC.
Yep.
If they were the 12 seed playing the 5, they would have moved on. So it's like, it was incredible. The TCU-Michigan game was great. The Georgia-Ohio State game was great. And I think it's why our game's so fun, so special.
Yeah, you saw the Green Wave up close and personal as well. What a run for Willie Fritz and company. Absolutely. So you got like a whole – I mean, you are the guy to talk to about like all the stuff going on right now.
We played some really good people, you know.
Yeah, you did.
So we got to find a way, and we didn't play Tulane very well. We played most of them well. Mm-hmm. We just got to find a way to, and I think we will get over that hump and ourselves win some championships and be in those conversations. But boy, it is fun to be a part of those kind of games.
So, Coach, just in closing here for SMU football, obviously, you know, got the first signing day and the bowl game behind you. Another signing day coming up, transfer portal, all that. Just kind of what's the mission for Rhett Lashley and company right now at the start of 2023 in the Mustangs program?
Yeah, well, you just hit it. We're trying to close these next, you know, week to 10 days when school starts for us on the 17th with this transfer class, getting guys in school. We feel like we've got a good mix of high school and transfer kids coming in, and then we get to start building our team. You know, on January 17th, we start building a new team for 2023. And you do that every year, but nowadays more than ever with so much roster movement around the country, you're building a brand new team every year. And a new identity will take on itself. We had a really good team culture this year. I think that's why when we started 2-3 with that schedule, you saw we were able to win 4 out of our last 5 or 5 out of the last 7, whatever it was. We got a new opportunity and a new mission. And that's the fun. From January to August is really where you build your team. And so that's what we really get to start focusing on here in about 10 to 14 days.
Rhett, good luck the next few weeks as you continue to build your roster into offseason, eventually spring drills. This is a great segment with you today. We appreciate it. See why you're bringing energy to SMU, and have a great weekend.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Rhett Lashley, head coach at SMU. And